Okay, welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host is Otto Loos.
Still here, John.
And we are having just a wonderful conversation with Judge Diamond in reference to guardianships. Also joining us for the rest of the show will be Peter Janowski, who's my business partner. And, you know, we deal with this a lot with seniors, unfortunately. So it was an interesting conversation, I said, for him to join us.
So if I just wanted to pick up on what we were talking about before, that the first goal would be to have your advanced directives, have your power of attorney, have your healthcare proxy. The second thing is, and this is really where Project Independence has become invaluable in the community, and that is we need to get to people who are vulnerable before they fall and end up in the hospital, before they don't take their medication and become dehydrated and faint and end up in the hospital. So how do we do that? Well, we need to encourage our neighbors to look after their neighbors. In other words, if you know somebody on your block who lives alone and is aging in place and is doing a good job of it, but you know that this person is frail and may need help doing certain things, check on that person. What, at least once a week, make sure that you know that that person is safe and is well. Because when you don't see somebody, and you know, look, the way we live our lives, everybody's always running and always has things to do, and life is very hectic here. But if you would take the time to make sure that you see a person living alone at least once a week, and if you don't see them, you have several options. In the old days, it would just be to call the police and say, I haven't seen my neighbor in a few days, I'm worried. The mailman who sees mail piling up is a very, very common scenario, and they will call the police. You can call the Department of Social Services, Adult Protective Services in particular, and if you don't want to deal with the police, you call the Department of Social Services, Adult Protective Services, APS, and tell them. Or you can now call Project Independence in the town of North Hempstead, and the Project Independence will send somebody to that house and take the necessary steps to get in and see what's going on. So, and you know, if we can do this and we can get people looking after people, we will, I think, prevent the catastrophes, right? Now, I understand people don't want to be intrusive, people don't want to knock on the door, but it's really about educating our neighbors to say this is necessary.
I agree.
It's no longer become, you know, just something that if you feel like doing it someday, go do it. And because, you know, governments want us to age in place because of the cost of delivering health care and nursing homes, which is astronomical. So they want us to age in place. But you can't do it alone.
Right.
You need help doing it. And Project Independence now in North Hempstead provides so many services that will really help us accomplish this. But we need neighbors to look in on their neighbors.
You know, it's something that we talk about a lot. And neighbors helping neighbors. You know, if you have a snowplow, shovel somebody, do the sidewalk, you know, do whatever. But for some reason, people are still reluctant to get help. And the biggest issue I see with Project Independence is getting people to take advantage of the service and the fact that, you know, you're not like a charity case here. This is just people helping people.
We have 11,000 signed up out of 50. So that's 11,000 is a tremendous number. And in 311, in the course of a year, over 50% of the calls that come into 311 are from seniors. But that still is
the tip.
There's a lot more to go.
I have friends that I tell them about it, and I know they absolutely will do nothing about it. You know, they just, you know, it's a mental block.
It's very rare that someone will come forward and admit that they need help toileting, dressing, showering, shopping, and cooking. It's very rare. So people will, the people who are the subject of the petition of the guardianship, who come to court, they will come to the witness stand and testify and tell me exactly what you said just now. I'm fine. I can. I don't know why people are worried about me. I'm really managing well. When the proof is and the evidence around them is that they're not doing that at all. And so you appoint a guardian and you say to the person, listen, I know that you think that you don't need help, but I think you do need help, and I'm responsible for you now because you're in the court system, and I need to make sure that you're safe, so I'm going to give you a guardian. And are they happy about it? No. Right. But we appoint guardians and give them powers that are the least restrictive. That's the phrase in the law, the least restrictive that we can to let the person live and maintain their dignity. Guardians don't come over and take over your life.
Right.
They assist you. And so there's a big mental issue about that. I have a guardian. It's like a black mark. Well, people have to get over that, because if they don't get over it, they're going to end up in the hospital and might not be able to go home again.
Well, that was the connotation years ago. A conservator or a guardian, that means you're a wacko, literally. I mean, that's what people would say. It's like, well, that one's out of her mind. She has a guardian, a conservatorship, that means she's bouncing off the walls. And it's not.
You know, you mentioned with the advanced directives, one of the things that Project Independence gets involved with also, you said, okay, you're in the hospital, but now you can't go home because your home is not
safe.
Made that way. It's not safe. And Project Independence talks about main level living. How do you get your house into the condition that you're going to be able to function if you have a problem? And it's a good thing to try to do that in advance, because if you have a bedroom that's on the second floor and you have nowhere to go on the first floor, you're in trouble. You know, you can have a chair that brings you up and down. Maybe right. That's what you need to do.
You know, that now that my wife and I are both in our 60s, I'm 64, we often have this conversation that we wish we bought a ranch.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's an example, though, really.
Because carrying things up and down the stairs gets harder and harder every year, but it is true. It is a factor, you know.
Well, it does require a little bit of pre-planning, and that's when you see apartment. We have clients. Last week, the woman was 80 some odd years old, and it's interesting. I went to see her in an apartment. She's on the third floor, maybe 10 apartments. In the elevator, there was another lady had two heavy bags. I found that afterwards. She's 93. So I said, what are you doing with those? No, I'm fine. I said, where are you? And happened to be on the same floor. But she was going in the door. I said, I'll walk down with you. I said, please. Anyway, I take her down, open the door, bring the bags in. Then she says, can I close her vacuum? Because she couldn't close it down. And she's a petite little lady. By the time I closed her vacuum down, the neighbor across the hall was out. And my client down the hall was coming down. Annie, what's the problem? That's community living.
That's
what you have to take in your mind. Say, do I want to stay in my home, mm-hmm. or do I want to go into an environment where next door is not a guardian, but a social?
That's part of the circle of support.
Yeah, the circle of support thing. That somebody will watch out for me and make a phone call and say, I haven't seen Annie in 3 days.
You know, it's a very interesting point, and it points out why the government in suburbia is not doing the right thing for our aging population. It's very different here than it is in the city, where apartment dwelling mm-hmm. is the majority, right? So here, where it's exactly the opposite, A, and B, we're encouraged to tell people to age in place so that they don't have to go live in a facility. However, we do not have funds from the government, either at the county, the state, or the federal level, to pay for guardianships.
Right.
And it's a terrible situation. I mean, just the idea that I take time out from court time, even if it's at lunchtime, to go around to try to get volunteer guardians in 2016 in one of the richest counties in America, it's crazy. Mm. It's crazy. And I don't know why it is that this population, which to me is the most vulnerable population that we have. They live alone. They can't help themselves. The ones who have Alzheimer's and dementia, who are laying in a nursing home for the rest of their life, most of them can't even talk. They need somebody to go and see them once every couple of months to make sure that they're being cared for. You know, we the fight over government funding has become a game of, it's almost a game of who can go in with the saddest story to get money for their interested population. So, you know, in the past years, there have been all sorts of groups that have gotten the attention of the government. For some reason, this population, to me, has been abandoned by government at every level. At every level. And we have a public guardian program in Nassau County that accepts people who live in at home. So, for example, the person that we've talked about, let's assume that they don't need 24/7 care, but let's just assume that they're a person who's living at home, has been found to be incompetent, but still can stay in their house. They have money, they can pay their bills. The Nassau County does have a very good public guardian program who will send people into the house to check on that person, to pay their bills, you know, et cetera, and they pay for that. They will not take people who are in facilities long term, because their position is that these people are being cared for, they're fed, they're clothed, they have a place to live, a roof over their head.
By the management of the facility exclusively.
They're safe. Okay.
You know, thinking about something, the person who needs the guardian is not going to be the one who's going to contact anybody.
No, right.
So how would you go about, like we said, neighbors helping neighbors? It sounds like what really is needed is somebody to say, and don't take this personally, Peter, but Peter lives two doors away from me, and I think he has a problem, and he probably needs a guardian or somebody to help him. If I were the person who identified that, what would you recommend I do?
I would say you call Project Independence.
Right.
Tell them that you've seen your neighbor a couple of times, your neighbor didn't recognize you, right, and you're scared about it.
Okay.
It's the first time it ever happened. I've known the person for 50 years, 40 years, and this morning when I saw her, she didn't quite remember my name.
Right.
Now, so you call Project Independence, they will send a social worker over to the house, people who do this professionally and know what to
right.
say, and they will start an investigation and let it go from there. Nobody should think that they need to do this on their own, because they don't. As I said, there's APS, but I say take advantage of the circle of support that you have here, and let Project Independence at least start the investigation.
Yeah, because the right. people who need the guardian are...
They don't have no idea.
No, they don't.
They're not. Yeah. I mean, some people do self-petition but those are people who have the capacity, the mental capacity, to know that trouble is coming.
Right.
And they don't want a niece who's their only living heir to become their power of attorney or whatever. So those people sometimes will come and self-petition and say, "I want a guardian, and I want you to appoint an independent person." But it's rare.
We have to take a break now. We're listening to Judge Arthur Diamond. We'll be right back. You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org.